Last week, we started a series on faith, faithfulness, and trust, and we began our series by looking now at faith. Now, after faith, we have to move on into faithfulness and then on into trust, because if we stop early, if we stop with faith, our walk with God now is often going to be severely challenged. I've seen this happen over and over, and I want to explain what I mean by that. These last two plateaus, faithfulness and then on to trust, that will keep us now from ever permanently stumbling. And none of us want to stumble. None of us want to fall away. But sometimes if we don't go on into these next two steps, there's things in these end days that are going to cause us to stumble, fall away for a while. And that's why these last two sessions are so important. Okay, now I'm going to give you this true example. We had this friend when Jack and I first married, and he was on fire for God. Boy, he took us in, and he was teaching us so many things, and we were so excited. And I had him spiritually on a real high pedestal because I just thought, oh, Lord, he's a powerhouse. Well, he moved and we lost track of him. And finally, when he moved back, I heard that he had completely walked away. I don't know that he had walked away from God, but he wasn't in church anymore. And he just wasn't walking with God. And I thought, Lord, how on earth could this have happened? He was so on fire. And so, I mean, it really threw me for a loop. And I just kept praying about that. Well, the Lord very clearly showed me that he accepted Jesus and he had exercised great faith, but he never took the next two steps. He never went on into the faithfulness and the trust. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. He got saved. He was on fire. But as those trials came along, he fell away because he never learned faithfulness, something that is absolutely necessary in our Christian walk if we're going to keep going with God, and especially with all things we're going to be meeting in these end days. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, as just a biblical illustration that'll help us better understand faith, faithfulness, and trust, I'm going to be using the Israelis' journey. That's what we started out with last week, how they came to the Red Sea, and then they went through the wilderness, and they went on into the Jordan River that borders the Promised Land. And I think if you'll follow with me, you won't forget this analogy. Now, the crossing of the Red Sea, like we said last week, is a type and shadow of learning faith. And then in Exodus 14:21, when Pharaoh's army now was hot on their trail, they had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the armies of Pharaoh coming behind them, and they were sandwiched in. And you might say that they were between a rock and a hard place. But Moses stretched out his arm now over the sea. He stretched it out in faith, and the waters rose up, huge wall on each side, and the bed of the sea became dry, and they walked across on dry land. Okay, now that is a type and shadow of a faith act. And they started their journey through the wilderness that should have taken 11 to 14 days because they had seen this tremendous miracle, and God kept doing miracles. And instead of it taking the 14 days, it took 40 years because they never went on into faithfulness. Okay, now what does it mean to be faithful? What is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness means to steadfastly stay with something where you absolutely, you make up your mind, this is worth my time. I'm staying with this. It means to hang in there and absolutely refuse to quit. Now, in the New Testament vernacular, it would mean having put your hand to the plow. Just don't look back. Don't stop. Now, that's exactly what faithfulness is, and that means you're in it for the long haul. You've made up your mind, okay, I'm not just going to go to church every once in a while and acknowledge God every once in a while. I'm in this for the long haul. Lord, I want you, and I want everything you've got. Now, it was the second generation before the children of Israel learned this faithfulness. The first generation never learned it, and they died in the wilderness. Simply put, faithfulness is a decision where a person says, I'm never going to give up. I've made my decision. I'm going with you, God. I will never turn back. And it's just like the crossing of the Red Sea is a type and shadow of faith. Now, we're going to find out that the wilderness experience is a type and shadow of our learning faithfulness. Then, when they finally got to the border of the Promised Land, and when they crossed over that Jordan River, they had finally moved on in then into trust. Okay, now, if you'll remember, when they finally reached the banks of the Jordan River, God told them in Joshua 3, verse 13, he said, when the soles of your feet now touch the water, then the waters will part for you. And when you think about that, if you'll remember at the crossing of the Red Sea now, Moses used his faith, and he parted the sea, and they walked across on dry land. But it's different now. At the Jordan River, 40 years later, they've learned a little bit, and they've developed trust. And this is the time they trusted God when they stepped in the water They had to do that before the waters parted. And they had to first walk out in that water. They had no idea if the whole bunch of Israelites were going to go under the water. They didn't know how deep it was. And they walked in faith, in trust. Okay, now we're going to be comparing our whole Christian pilgrimage journey to this Old Testament story of their coming out of bondage and going on into the Promised Land. So today, I want us to concentrate now on this middle step of faithfulness, because this one, I think, is the most important step we can ever possibly come to in our Christian walk. And I think that's the reason why this Bible study is so important to me, because it's been one of the most valuable teachings to me personally to help me realize I've made my decision. I'm going on. I'm not looking back. Now, I can't tell you how important this step of faithfulness is going to be to you if you'll just, and it's just a decision that you make, but how important it'll be to you. Now, when we first start our Christian walk, the first thing we hear is the message of faith, and boy, that's exciting. Nothing's more exciting than to hear about faith miracles. It's as though God, you know, just kind of walks ahead of us, pushing the water back so that we can step out on dry land, and we get so excited when we see all the miracles that God's doing. And we see all kinds of miracles, and we should have those kinds of testimonies, those faith testimonies, every day of our life, and that's what God intends for us, because faith will run right alongside of faithfulness all through your walk with God. So we don't throw faith out just because we've learned to walk in faithfulness, because faith and faithfulness were meant to strengthen each other. God gave them to us for them to strengthen, one to strengthen the other, and for them to work together for us, because you're going to need both of them every day of your life. Now, we know we need faith, but sometimes we haven't been taught how badly we need faithfulness. So what I'm wanting us to hear today, in order to move on into this plateau of faithfulness, I want us to come to the place where we make a quality decision that we're going to be steadfast and we're going to be determined that we're going to stick it out through thick and thin. We're living in a different day and time now, and there's going to be some challenges. But once you've made up your mind, God, I'm going with you. I don't care what it takes. I'm yours. And I'm going to believe you and walk with you. And Lord, I'm believing you to use me every day of my life till the Lord returns. This is something that we make this decision, you know, whether it looks like the word's working or whether it doesn't look like the word's working. Doesn't have anything to do with that. We come to a place where we say, God, you're my Lord, you're my God, you're my source, and I have chosen to walk in faithfulness with you. Okay, now I want us to look at an example of this step of faithfulness in Daniel 3, verse 17. Now, Israel had been taken into Babylonian captivity. I mean, it was really bad, and they had been taken there. And they were told that they had to bow down and worship this Babylonian king, or they would be thrown into the furnace of fire. Three of the young Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we hear those names from when we were young in Sunday school. But their story is so much more than just a Sunday school story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the king, and they made two very important statements. That one of the statements is in verse 17 and the other in verse 18. Now, you may want to make a notation out in the margin of your Bible by verse 17 that here they made their statement of faith. That was so important. That's where we all have to start. Now, faith is the first step. And they said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. So he's made his statement of faith. And they're saying, well, it doesn't matter what happens. God's able, and he's going to deliver us. Okay, now that's faith. Then in verse 18, they go past faith, and they make a statement of faithfulness, which is so important. They go on and say, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods. We're not going to worship the golden image that you've erected. We're not going there. Okay, that's their statement of faithfulness. God, you're going to deliver us, but even if you don't, we're still going to serve and we're still going to trust you. Okay, now this is a perfect example of faithfulness. You need to mark this in your Bible. Now, God did deliver them, but that step beyond faith is that step of faithfulness that had to be taken before they saw the deliverance. Now, without faithfulness, we'll throw in the towel. I promise you, I've seen so many. They went into faith and they were excited, but they never went on into the faithfulness, and something came along at some point and they finally just threw in the towel. They might not have walked away complete from God, but they walked away from their walk with God and they quit. And any time that a person hasn't made this second step, when the fire gets hot,
they're going to pull back.
Now, a good way to describe it is sometimes the step of faithfulness is the step that we make while we're waiting, because we don't always see what God's doing immediately. And sometimes when we're having to wait, it's hard. And so this step, this second step, this step of faithfulness is what gives us the courage and what gives us the determination that we're not going to give in. Now, faith is bold and it puts the fire out, and that's fun. But faithfulness is when we step into the fire before we see the miracle. And that's what God's going to be requiring of every one of us in these end days. We're going to be stepping into the fire before we see the miracle. Now, there's a difference between faith and faithfulness. And I'm telling you that knowing this could absolutely save you from taking a huge tumble spiritually. So in Daniel 3, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's angry. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up in their trousers, their coats, and their caps, and they were cast into the furnace. Okay, now for this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was made extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, and they're still tied up. Okay, now this is the point where we must absolutely refuse disappointment. Every one of us are going to come to a place when it looks like it's not working. When we're thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, this is just not working. What's happened? My faith, I've been exercising my faith. It's not working. And disappointment is going to stand at your door. And I promise you, when you accept disappointment, that's one of the most dangerous things you will ever do to your Christian faith. One of the things you have to learn now. And you hear so many people say, well, I was just disappointed. You need to take that word completely out of your vocabulary. Because disappointment is the one thing that will pull you down faster than anything else. When you hear the word disappointment, you need to pull back, put your hand up and say, no, I'm not going there. See, disappointment is something we have to overcome in order to walk in faithfulness. And most people don't even think about disappointment being a big deal. You know, they say it all the time. It's no big deal to them. But I'm telling you, disappointment is a huge enemy that Satan has put out. It's a killer. And it's one of his best tools. And that's why he uses it. That's why he makes it look so innocent. But we've got to realize that word disappointment is a horrible word. It's one of Satan's favorite things. They've just made their statement of faith, and they've made it in front of everyone. They're saying, our God will deliver us. And yet they find themselves being bound. Now, that's when it would really shake your faith, because you're thinking, Lord, I made my statement of faith and it doesn't look like it's working. They realize that the furnace has been heated 7 times hotter. So you know they're feeling that unbearable heat. And the guards pick them up, start them toward the fire. So this fire is so hot that the guards don't even make it. Just the heat from the fire killed the guards. Now, you know the temperature and the temptation must have been for them to cry out and say, Lord, where are you? Remember me. I'm the one who stood up for you. I'm the one who has confessed you. I'm the one who stuck my neck out for you. And many of us have done that. Something will come up and we'll say, God, you know, I've been standing for you. What's going on? I don't understand this. And many of us would still be hollering when they slung us into the fire. But that is what faithfulness is for. And that's what I want you to hear tonight, that this is when faithfulness comes into being and when it's the most valuable tool you have at that time. Now, faith without faithfulness sometimes starts hollering when it doesn't happen as we thought it should. I want you to hear that, because that's so important. You're going to find out that faith without faithfulness now, that's the first thing that's going to start hollering when it looks like things are happening and we're thinking, God, this shouldn't be happening. I had faith. I was doing what you told me to do. But the enemy's going to see to it that comes around, and without this step of faithfulness, we're going to fall. And it's going to be a bad fall. But it's like Jack told Angie one time when it looked like something failed. He said, it's not over yet. You're not dead. Jack always had a very interesting way of pulling Angie back into faith. And basically, he was telling her, just keep believing. You know, it's not over. Now, there's going to be times when we have to move on into faithfulness to make it through. And that's what allows God then to do the delivering. God will give it to us instantaneously any time that it's a possibility. I think God wants to honor our faith and make it fall out perfectly in front of us. But we're living in a fallen world, and we're going to find that sometimes there are other people's wills involved. Sometimes there are situations involved that are going to cause a problem. Sometimes there's satanic strongholds that have to be broken. And if we're not willing to go on into this plateau of faithfulness and allow him to do it the way that it has to be done in this particular situation, we're not going to see the victory. And it's going to cause us to take sometimes a big step backwards. Now, God would love to part the Red Sea every single time and let us walk across on dry land. I truly believe that. But he also wants us to be faithful in case he has to take us another route. And there's times that God knows what's going on, and he has to take us a different route. And he wants us to be able to come to the place where we say, God, I'm trusting you. I don't care what it looks like. I'm trusting you. And sometimes we have to allow him to do it another way in order for us to see the victory. Now, so many times it takes this step of faithfulness before we'll ever see the total victory. You know, we used to think, well, faith's all it takes. But no, faith's not all it takes. We have to go on into this step of faithfulness to make the faith work. When it appeared that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's statement of faith didn't work, if they had bowed down and worshiped the king, then I promise you they would have never seen the victory. You know, he was saying, you bow down and worship me and I'll do all these things for you. They would have never seen the victory. Only when we do it God's way, and the only way we're going to be able to do it God's way is when we not only have faith, but we say, God, I have the faithfulness. I'm going with you every step of the way. Doesn't matter where it takes me. Doesn't matter how much energy, how much faith. It doesn't matter what it's going to take. I'm going with you all the way. Now, it was that next step of faithfulness now that allowed God to do his miracle. Now, faith alone will often get a wrong preconceived idea of how God's going to do it. Because we're all guilty many times of believing God for some miracle that we need, and we get an idea of how we think God's going to do it, how he's going to meet maybe that financial need, or how he's going to bring about that healing, or maybe how he's going to save that loved one that we've been praying for. But without faithfulness, people sometimes think that they have it all figured out mentally, and then when it doesn't go the way they think it should, then they pull back and they get discouraged and they take a side trip. And then when it doesn't come about like they mentally had thought, that's when so many people get disappointed and many of them walk away. I'm old enough now, I've seen a lot of people who became discouraged and it didn't happen the way they thought it should, and they walked away. Some of them came back, but they wasted a lot of time. Okay, I want to tell you something important. The reason Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to come into faithfulness is because they were intimately acquainted with the Father. And that's what I want you to hear. They were intimately acquainted with the Father. They were in a love walk with God. They didn't just know him as the God, the man upstairs, the God of heaven and earth. They knew him as their intimate heavenly Father. Now, that love walk is going to be the real clue for moving into the plateau of faithfulness. This needs to be a decision we all make that, Lord, I don't want to stop with faith. I want to go on into faithfulness. But the real clue is going to be when we decide, Lord, I want to love walk with you. I want to be your best lover. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew God intimately. They knew his faithfulness, and that's why they could be faithful. It's going to be impossible for us to come into this walk of faithfulness until we understand that God is so faithful to us, till we understand his faithfulness. Now, we've talked often about Psalm 91. We talk about that all the time. I love teaching Psalm 91. And in verse 4, it tells us that God's faithfulness is our shield. You need to think about that. It's the fact that God is going to be faithful and he requires faithfulness out of us, and that literally becomes a shield around us. Now, they had experienced his faithfulness, and faithfulness on our part can only come when we begin to understand that God's faithfulness is there for us first. He doesn't require anything of us that he doesn't give to us. And when he's saying, I want you to be faithful to me, then you can know he's already given his faithfulness to us. But he wants us to understand that. Now, when we experience how faithful God is, it literally becomes a shield around us. That's what it's talking about in Psalm 91. It's like a protective shield that completely surrounds us. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 explains the difference between the Old and the New Covenant. And do you know what the major difference is between the Old and the New Testament? Under the old covenant, most people only knew God. They just had an acquaintance with God. They knew him. They knew him as the God of the universe, but they didn't come into any kind of an intimate relationship with him. But after Jesus came in the new covenant, we now can know God. It talks about that on practically every page of the New Testament, that he wants us to come to a place where we have an intimate relationship with him. And we can now experience Jesus and know him personally as our personal best friend. Now, there were only just a few throughout the Old Covenant who experienced God that way. But now, under the New Testament, he's made the way absolutely available to every single one of us. He wants every one of us to come into a very intimate, precious relationship with him. You know, I mean, yes, it's fine accepting Jesus as our Savior and knowing we're going to go to heaven. That's wonderful. But that's so far down the ladder. He wants us to come to a place where we are in a love walk with God every single day of our life. You know, where we have this close, close fellowship. And when we're not feeling close to him, we stop everything else and say, oh, Lord, I want my relationship to be with you to be the most important thing in my life. Now, a person can operate in faith at times without an intimate relationship, and they can even apply the faith principles and sometimes see the power. But it's going to take more than applying faith principles to have faithfulness. I want you to hear me on that. It's going to take more than just applying some of the faith principles if you want to come into this faithfulness. It takes God, knowing God, not to run when you're being marched into the furnace. Going to take that. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew God, and they were able to say, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, we're going to remain faithful to you, God, no matter what happens. It's okay. Now, that was not a statement of giving in to despair. Despair lets go of a victorious ending. So the difference between giving in to despair versus giving up to God, there's a huge difference there. God's wanting us to come to the place where we can give up to God, but never give in to despair. Now, giving in to despair says, my faith didn't work. It's over. I don't know what happened. I tried. And I hear that so many times from people. You know, I tried it, and it just didn't work. Listen, that's giving in to despair. But giving up to God says, God, you're going to see me through victoriously. It doesn't matter what happens in the meantime. I'm yours, and you're mine, and I'm going to trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but Lord, I know that you're going to be with me. You'll never leave me, and you'll never forsake me. I know your character. I know your word, Lord, and I know I'm going to see the victory. So I'm going to remain faithful no matter what it looks like right now in the interim, because you're going to go through some periods where it doesn't really look all that good, and it can be scary if you let it be. Or you can stop and say, God, you're just working it out. There's details you're having to work out. But Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to love you every step of the way. And that simple little decision of faithfulness that you make will make all the difference in the world in your walk. Now, faithfulness says whether I ever see it with my physical eyes or not, I'm going to remain faithful because you're faithful and I know you love me. When we come to that place where we understand how much God loves us, it makes us then want to pour our love back on him. Now, there's as much difference between giving in and giving up as there is difference between right and wrong. When you give in to the enemy, you're going to find out that things are going to fall apart. But when you give up to God and you say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I know you will. And I'm trusting you. I've made my decision that I'm moving into faithfulness. I'm not just going to have faith in you, but I'm going to have faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful to you to the end. Now, giving up to God puts a complete halt now to the plans of the enemy. Now, it stops all of those what ifs, you know, what if it doesn't work? I know that every one of you at times have thought, God, you know, what if this doesn't work? What if that? What? Stop that at the door. Stop the what-if thoughts. Those are coming straight out of the mouth of the enemy, because faithfulness is saying, so what if it doesn't appear to be working? So what? God, I know you're real. I know you're true. I'm still going to trust you, and I'm not going to be disappointed. I don't know how you're going to work this out, but I'm trusting you, and I know you will. And when you do that, you'll feel that joy start bubbling up on the inside of you. You'll feel it. And I can't even begin to tell you how exciting that will be to know that every day of your life you can put down the despair of the enemy. You can put down the fears. You can put down the what ifs by just acknowledging your love for God and saying, God, I'm going to remain faithful to you. And I've got a good example in the Old Testament. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could do it, then Lord, I should certainly be able to do it under the new covenant. And if you'll do that, you can't even imagine what you'll do to your walk with God. Now, that kind of attitude is going to give the enemy absolutely no room for retaliation. And you don't have to do it but once, and it worked so well that the next time you'll remember and say, I know what works and I know what doesn't work. And every time you do it right, every time you acknowledge your faithfulness, then it just makes it easier to do it the next time. Until finally, it's just a way of life. When you step out in true faithfulness, God will always come through. You may have to wait a while. And that's where the faithfulness comes in. God, I don't know what you're working on, but you're working something out. And I'm going to remain faithful until I see it happen. It certainly didn't look like it was working for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when these Hebrew men were faithful, God came on the scene. And verse 25 tells us that then there were four men walking in the fire without harm. Those three guys didn't have to go into the furnace alone. God went in that furnace with them. And that's what I'm wanting us to see today, that we will never take a step in faithfulness with God, that God's not going to be right there with us. You might not see him, but you're going to feel it, and you're going to know it, and you're going to start hearing his voice. Now, so many people think, if I move into faithfulness, I may have to do some real suffering. Well, I want you to notice here, it says they came through the fire without harm. So it doesn't sound to me like they had to do a lot of suffering, you know. And the appearance of the fourth man, they said, was like the appearance of the Son of God. Now, only three men were thrown into the furnace, but suddenly there's four walking around in the flames because God will be in the furnace with us. Every time, you will never have to make that step of faithfulness alone. I think that was the thing that encouraged me more than anything when suddenly I realized I would never have to take a step out into the unknown, a step out into the what appeared to be very fearful. I never had to take that step alone because God promises he will be with us every step of the way if we're in faithfulness. Now, anytime we take a step of faithfulness, God is always there. We'll never have to take that step alone. Now, God will be with us all the way because he promises, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You need to take some of these promises out of the Word and memorize them and write them out on a sheet of paper and have them somewhere, because sometime when you're being hit really hard, boy, it helps to be able to pull out that sheet of paper and just remind yourself that, Lord, you told me that you would never leave me and you'd never forsake me. That no matter what I go through, no matter how bad it looks or how horrible it feels, you're there and you're going to see me through. Now, the only time God's not there is when we take off into enemy territory and we're trying to do it our own way. And sometimes that's what we have to give ourselves a little talking to and say, God, I want you to speak so clearly to me that I don't run out on my own, that I'm listening to you and I'm following you. Now, faithfulness needs to become a lifestyle. And whenever we begin to walk in a lifestyle of faithfulness, we have just opened the door through which God comes on the scene every single time. He will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. And we've just opened the door, and that's all he was waiting for. You know, I read an article. It was written by a well-known female teacher, and she told how she and her husband, their ministry was on a pretty smaller scale at the time, but God began to lead her into a ministry now of healing and praying for the sick. And she taught on healing beautifully. And she was so excited, she was expecting really great things to start happening. She said for the first 6 months, she taught her heart out. She prayed for everybody. She said she prayed for long lines of people who were in sickness. And she said, absolutely nothing happened. And she said, well, maybe, Lord, maybe I just missed you. You know, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. But she said she knew in her heart that God had called her into this ministry. And she knew that the easiest thing in the world would have been for her to throw in the towel. But she said, no, Lord, I made a commitment to you, and I've determined that I'm going to do what I believe you've called me to do. And so she kept teaching on healing and kept praying for people. And she said one day it was like instantly something happened. And suddenly she said testimonies began pouring in, telling of how when she had prayed for them that the healing had come. And so there's times that we don't know what that thing is that we're having to battle and push through. But the easiest thing in the world is to throw in the towel and give up. That's the easiest thing in the world to do because that's our flesh. But when God's told us to do something and we're doing the will of God, praying for the sick in her case, if we'll stand in there and do what God's told us to do, it may not happen overnight. We may have to do some standing, but I promise you, God will never let us down. He'll never leave us. Faithfulness finally won out for her, and the spirit broke through in the physical. And I promise you, it'll do that for each one of us if we'll just stand firm and do what God's called us to do. She went through the fire during her wilderness experience, but faithfulness won. Anytime we go through a trial, we can call it our wilderness experience if we want to call it that, but we can make it last for 14 days or we can make it last for 40 years. It's up to us. It's our decision. Okay, I'm going to tell you how you can get to the point of faithfulness now. Now, the next statement that I'm going to make is so important. The plateau of faithfulness is entered into by a one-time quality decision. I want you to think about that. That's all it takes if you really mean it. It's just a one-time quality decision where you come to a place where you say, Lord, I've made up my mind. I've made my decision. From this point on, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter whether it appears to be working or not. It doesn't matter what my senses are dictating. Even if I never see a miracle, I know the word is still true, and I've made my decision that from this day forth, I'm going to remain faithful to you, Lord. That's your step of faithfulness. It's just making that one-time commitment to God. The Bible is going to be my final authority from this day forth, no matter what it looks like, no matter what I see happening in the world. The Word of God is my final authority. Now that, in a nutshell, if you sincerely mean it, is the simple process of just entering into this plateau of faithfulness. God has made it so easy. He's made it so easy. Now, you may have to apply your faithfulness commitment with each new situation that presents itself, but it's still just a one-time commitment where you make that choice that from now on, whatever I face, Lord, whatever I face, I'm going to choose to trust you. And you nail it down, and that's what it means then to enter into faithfulness with God. And if you're ever going to experience kingdom living, this plateau of faithfulness has to be entered into. And that's what God's calling us into. He wants us to experience, He wants us to be in an attitude of kingdom living with Him every single day. But we're not going to get there with just faith. We've got to come on into this plateau of faithfulness as well. And it's a decision that one makes simply by an act of their will. You know, not an act of emotions, but an act of their will. Now, faithfulness is a calculated move. It's something that a person has thought about. They've put a lot of time and thought into it. And so it's not a decision that they've made on impulse. It's a decision that they've made with their will, with their choice, not their emotions, where they come to a place where they say, Lord, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it with you from this day forth. I'm yours. Now, I don't care where you are in your Christian growth. You're never going to go all the way with God until you come to the place of just nailing it down and making that decision once and for all. Father, from this day forth, I'm going to be faithful. I'm yours. And when you do that, then it's settled. It's a point of contact, and it's where you've locked it down, you've nailed it down, and it's yours. And that's exactly where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had come there in Daniel chapter 3. They said, but even if God does not deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set before us. And sometimes we have to say that when things are coming and it looks like nothing's working, we're going to have to say, I don't care what this looks like. I've made my commitment. And God, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to believe your word, and I'm going with you every step of the way. It's that step of faithfulness, and God will come through. At some point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had consciously and deliberately taken that step of faithfulness. They had decided that they were going to serve God no matter what, and it wasn't easy for them. They were in a foreign land. That's why they were able to go into the furnace, and that's why they saw their deliverance. They could not have done it without that commitment that they made in verse 18. And in the same way, there's going to be some things in our lives where we're not going to see the victory without first making this quality decision, this step of faithfulness. Now, I can remember the day and place when I made that decision, and it was my point of contact that I've never forgotten it, because that was my point of contact where I made that step of commitment. And I'd been on a roller coaster of a lot of doubts and a lot of fears and for a long time, and just about the time that I had started operating in some faith, doubt thoughts would enter my mind, and I'd find myself just immobilized by fear. And I'd say, oh, God, I was trying so hard, you know. And then about that time, someone invited me to go to a meeting where they had a prophet who was about to preach. Well, I at that time, this is years ago, and I'd never seen a modern-day prophet. I didn't even know there were modern-day prophets at that time. So I think I went partially out of curiosity, and I sat on the back of the church and in the row, in the middle of the back row, because I didn't want to be in a conspicuous place. But of all things, he pointed at me and he called me to the front and he said, God wants me to give a word to you. Well, I'd never heard of God giving a word to somebody. So I walked up really shaking and he started saying, the Lord says that he wants you to make up your mind to believe his word. And then he said it again. And he said, God wants you to choose to believe his word no matter what contradictory thoughts may come into your mind. And so he stopped a minute and then he said again, God wants you to make up your mind to choose to make his word your final authority in everything. Well, I'm going to tell you what, all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, these people are listening and I could feel myself getting embarrassed and I could feel myself thinking, what are these people thinking? And that visiting prophet, he didn't stop. He just kept repeating that phrase over and over. God wants you to choose to make his word your final authority. And he said it over and over and over. Well, finally, I got over the embarrassment. I thought, this is going to last all night. And so I finally heard what God was saying. And I went home that night and I said, God, you went to a lot of trouble to get that word to me tonight. So I make my decision now from this day forth forevermore. I've decided, Lord, I'm going to believe you. And from this day forth until the day I die, Lord, I never want to doubt you again. I choose to make you and your word my final authority. I decided I'm going to believe your word and it's going to be my final authority from this day forth. And Lord, I don't want to let anything take precedence over that. And that's all it takes is just a one time making that choice. Father, this is where I stand and I'm not leaving this place. Now, a lot of things can come and we can get distracted, but yet you'll always go back to that one commitment that you made, because when you make it that strongly, it's inside of you. And there's something about making that decision and out loud making that commitment to God that it does something. I mean, it's something supernatural. And until we make that one-time quality decision, we're going to be on a continual roller coaster. I stayed on a roller coaster and we'll be double-minded, tossed about with every new thought that the enemy sends our way. But once we make that one step of faithfulness, that quality decision, then it's like something in the spiritual realm just flips upside down. Now, it sounds too simple, but it works. It's one of the biggest milestones we'll ever make in our Christian pilgrimage. And the moment a person steps in that plateau of faithfulness, he's standing on the banks of the Jordan River, I can promise you. In other words, he's ready to cross now on over into trust. And that is the third part of the faith, faithfulness, and trust. But really, there's not any of the three steps that's more important than this middle one, this step of faithfulness. God, I've made up my mind. Nothing else is going to matter as much as this one step. Lord, I believe your word, and I'm going to be faithful, and I know no matter what it looks like in the interim, I know you're going to be faithful to me, and he will never, ever let you down. Father, I thank you that you have made things so easy. All you want us to do is just trust you, have faith, believe your word, and see all these fun miracles. Father, there's so many fun things and exciting things that you do for us. But Father, nothing makes the difference in our life as much as this one step of faithfulness where we say, Father, from this day forth, your word is my final authority. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it looks like it didn't work. It doesn't matter. From this day forth, your word is my final authority in everything. And Father, when we finally make that step of faithfulness, it's like a miracle takes place on the inside of us. There's no way to really even put it into words. But Father, it is so good and so important. And Father, I thank you for it. You make things so easy for us if we just trust you. And so, Father, I thank you. That is my prayer, Lord, that everyone who hears this word, some have already made that step of faithfulness, but those that haven't, Father, I thank you they'll just make that simple choice, that quality decision, and they'll be able to be so excited to see how their life begins to change and start turning around. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.